The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Is it too late for LeBron and Carmelo? Past its due date. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Luka Doncic agrees to 5 years, $207 million Supermax rookie extension with the Mavericks. Doncic's agent, Bill Duffy, told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj reports that Doncic, who's 22 years old, became the first player eligible for the designated rookie max extension upon signing because he's already, at the age of 22, been a two-time first-team All-NBA player. The deal includes a player option in the final year, Duffy told Woj. I don't know if Luka's a first-team player. If I had to make my All-NBA first team, it would be Steph at the point, Harden at the two, KD at the three, LeBron at the four, and Giannis at the five. I don't know where Doncic fits in, unless you want to take either Steph or Harden off the team, which I guess you could argue, because Doncic is a more confident clutch player, I think, than either Steph or Harden. Although Steph has turned that around in his career. Every time I say that, though, look, the bottom line about Steph, you know, I want Iguodala, right? I was right when I said that. At that point, and Steph has hit some big shots since then, but at that point, Steph had missed too many big shots when it mattered the very most. And, I mean, obviously he can get his own shot like no one else, right? And he's the best shooter of all time, but not when it mattered most. And, in fact, just imagine if LeBron James had been the one in these last playoffs in a play-in game win or go home who scored 0 points in an overtime and they went home. That's what Steph just did. So, I don't know. You could argue Luka over Steph or Luka over Harden, but I think at this point, at this moment, it's still Steph and Harden over Luka. So I don't agree that he's first team all NBA, but I guess you could argue it. At any rate, it's great for Luka, $207 million. He's a great player. And he is very likely to be the best player in the league pretty soon. But what does it mean for the Mavs? They already had Luka Doncic. Luka's already doing 28-8-8 in the regular season and then like 36-10-8 in the playoffs. He's close to a 30-point triple-double on average, not that far away from that, in the regular season, and he's significantly better when it matters most. That's a stud. Now, superstar. He's in a league, not with guys who are like great players like Luka with one other great teammate. He doesn't have another great teammate. Porzingis, the hope was, would be a great teammate, but it didn't turn out that way because Porzingis is injury-prone. But like, it's not a league where other superstars like LeBron or KD are playing with one other great player. And by great, I don't mean an all-star. I mean another MVP caliber player. For example, LeBron has AD, who is an MVP caliber player. KD has Harden, who is an MVP caliber player. But in addition to those guys, LeBron also has Westbrook. And KD also has Kyrie. Luka has no one on his team as good as the third best player on LeBron or KD's team. And by the way, Luka's not as good as LeBron or KD. Where does that leave the Mavs? Not seriously in title contention. Mark Cuban has to get at least one more superstar to join the Mavericks. Now, he has done some good things recently. He hired Nico Harrison to be the GM. And Nico Harrison, for those who don't know, is a former Nike executive and Kobe Bryant guy. Like the way Pelinka's a Kobe Bryant guy, look at the job he's done. Kobe didn't surround himself with fools. And Nico Harrison has a reputation for being, everyone likes him and everyone speaks to his intelligence. So if that's the case, and especially if the players like him, that helps. He's smart. He has to know how to manage everything. You assume there's competence there. And then what about relationships with players? Jason Kidd, too. Got to be a guy the players want to play for. But ultimately, it's Mark Cuban's responsibility. It's his team. Now, what does Cuban have going for him other than Harrison and Kidd in place? He has reputation as being player-friendly. He has a glamour destination. Dallas is a glamour destination. It may be on the bottom rung of the glamour destinations, but it is a glamour destination. As I said earlier, that TV show that was on when I was a kid, that nighttime soap opera, Who Shot JR, right? That wasn't called Houston. It was called Dallas. It wasn't called Philadelphia. It was called Dallas. And it's a warm weather place. Players like playing, like living in warm weather cities. And it's a tax-free state. Saves them a lot of money, especially in a league that caps what you can make. How do you get more other than endorsements and stuff from your contract? No tax state. And there's a signature superstar there in Luka, who averages like practically double-digit assists and is super confident and like looks like he could be the best player on a championship team. Shouldn't be that hard for a competent organization to go get another superstar to play with him. But remember, they need more than one other superstar to play with him. If the Nets and Lakers didn't exist, one might do it. And maybe another superstar would do it if the Nets and Lakers wind up hurt. And there is a possibility of that. KD came off a catastrophic injury. Kyrie is unreliable. Harden was hurt this year. AD was hurt this year. LeBron's 36 years old. So maybe they don't need two superstars in addition to Luka in order to win. But they'd have to rely on the same luck that the Bucks got this year. The Bucks just got incredibly lucky that the Nets were hurt. Nets were wiping the floor with the Bucks, and that was not even with their full team. They had never had KD, Kyrie, and Harden playing together, and they were wiping the floor with the Bucks. So if those teams stay healthy and the Dallas Mavericks want to compete, they have to turn Porzingis into a reliable second banana who is an MVP-caliber player, and then they need another all-star. Carmelo Anthony says LeBron James's pitch to join the Lakers was simply the time is now. Listen to this.
LeBron came to me one time and just said, yo, the time is now. Like, I want you. We got to make this happen. And, you know, I took that information and took that, you know, that dialogue and took my time with it and, you know, weighed all the options that I was weighing at that time. And, you know, I just felt like for right now, I think this was the best time.
Actually, the time has passed. It's not that Carmelo can't help the Lakers. I think he can. It's not that Carmelo won't benefit from winning a championship. If he can win one, I think he will benefit if that happens. It's not that Carmelo can't even enhance his legacy if he does it like as a really important member of the team, which he may. Like, I think if he's the number one option in the second unit, which I think is the best use of him at this point, given the construction of the team, or if he starts at, let's say, I don't know, they play a small lineup. AD, it's not that small. AD's at the five and Carmelo's at the four or something, right? LeBron, I guess then Wayne Ellington and Westbrook. Yeah, he can have, but what we mean, the reason we're looking for championships from these level players, like Robert Horry won more championships than anyone, but is not in the discussion because he was a role player, an excellent role player, but still a role player. He wasn't like one of the two best or three best players on the team. Carmelo was a superstar. And the reason we want superstars to win championships is because we want them to show us something about themselves, struggling through adversity, overcoming big obstacles, being able to lead a team. It's the reason KD doesn't get credit from me. He gets some credit, but not the credit that others might have who won championships for winning it with the Warriors. He joined a 73-win team. What are you really proving? Any all-star that joins the Warriors that came one play away from winning the championship the previous year and they'd already set the wins record that year, any all-star that joins that team is going to cruise to a championship. Of course. But it's not just an all-star. It's one of the greatest players who ever lived in KD. One of the best players who ever lived. The most skillful player ever at his size in the history of the NBA. So here's another way to look at it. I say height is an advantage. KD is the most skillful 6'11" player who ever lived. He's also the tallest, most skillful player who ever lived. There's no one taller than KD with more skills than him. So what does that really prove? The time for Carmelo has passed in terms of him being one of the two or three best players on a championship team. And Westbrook should look at that. And that should be a daily reminder to Westbrook. He's got to get it done and soon. On the Goodyear Hotline, Adam Schefter, ESPN's senior NFL insider. Schefty, thank you for joining the show.
Hello there, Max. How are we doing today?
We're doing fine. Better than Michael Thomas and the Saints. What's the beef?
Well, it looks like there's a lot of beef. It looks like it's not just now, but it's kind of built up over time here to where you go back to last season and he has the fight in practice. He gets benched. He gets hurt. They want him to have the surgery, didn't have the surgery. Now, obviously, they felt he should have had it sooner. Word of that got back to him. He made his own post on Twitter. And it's just one of these situations that's just continuing on and on, longer than it should, more public than it should. And it reveals that there's obviously not an ideal relationship between the two sides right now.
My reading from where I'm sitting, Adam, is I imagine Michael Thomas, and I'm sure they didn't like all the social media stuff, the locker room fight, then the injuries, right? Michael Thomas is looking at Drew Brees, and he's considered not long ago, like 12 months ago, that's the best receiver in the world. A lot of people felt that way. And Drew Brees is a very accurate quarterback, even as he aged, and the most accurate ever. And all of a sudden, he's looking at what there is at quarterback. It's Jameis Winston, who lost his starting job, and Taysom Hill, who's not been primarily a quarterback, and he's thinking, uh-oh. Meantime, from the Saints' point of view, this Marcellus Wiley, my old radio partner in L.A., Adam, used to say when personality trumps production, it's a problem. Like, he could have a big personality when he's the best receiver in the game putting up those numbers. But when that stops, now the team has a much lower tolerance for the big personality. To that, you say what?
Well, to that, I say, I don't know about that being true. Again, I mean, you might be right, Max. I understand your point. But I think Michael Thomas has always been a mercurial, tremendous player. Mm. I go back to when the story came out a couple of years back that his agent fired him. The agent fired him. You don't often see an agent fire a player. So it's not like all of a sudden these issues have just cropped up out of nowhere. I think that he's not a simple person to deal with.
Mm.
But he is incredibly talented and incredibly gifted. And I don't think that all of a sudden, because he's not playing, that all of a sudden they noticed that he's a difficult person to deal with. I think they knew that all along. But they did sign him to the new contract. And again, I think when something like this happens, you just wonder how long the relationship will last.
Yeah.
And with the new contract they gave him, it's hard to imagine that they could and would move on from him this year, though anything's possible, I guess. But I do think that when these types of issues start happening, I think you just begin to wonder, okay, when are these two sides going to move on from each other?
Yeah, no, I don't think that they, talking to Adam Schefter, ESPN senior NFL insider, of course, on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, I don't think they suddenly notice because there's no production. I think they always notice, and they're like, you know what? Maybe we're not going to put up with it anymore. It seems like they're heading for a divorce. Adam, what is your concern level? When I hear Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin start saying, uh-oh, what's going on? What is your concern level for Dak?
Well, I get concerned when I hear them be concerned, right? But the people that I've spoken to have not been overly concerned. And you heard Stephen Jones yesterday say that Dak's recovery is coming along at a quote-unquote A-plus level. And I think that what this is that it's August 10th, not September 10th, the day after they open the season, and that they're just being smart. Now, because it's the Cowboys and it's the quarterback and it's the arm on the quarterback of the Cowboys, naturally you're going to be concerned. And I do think that's what people are alluding to, but it's not like, I don't think, you know, they think, boy, they're hoping he heals or he's going to need surgery and be out for the year. I don't think it's one of those. But I think we go back to what Tim Hasselbeck said about 10 days ago. And he said, when you're a quarterback and you have to use your arm to throw all the time, and it's a marathon of a season, your arm gets tired as the year goes on. Mm-hmm. So it's not ideal. So I think what they're trying to do is try to rest the arm. It probably didn't get the work it needed during the offseason because he was so busy working on his ankle, that everything is a little bit out of whack right now. Now, it's not ideal. It's not optimal. But it's not something that he can't play with. He's going to be out there. I don't think he's going to miss games this year because of his shoulder and arm injury right now. And I think that they're just being smart with it. Now, again, does my antenna go up when those people say those things, Max? Yes. But I have not detected that level of concern.
Now, that's what I want to get into, Adam. Talking to Adam Schefter here on the Max Kellerman Show. That's what I want to get into. Now, if I'm a team and I want to keep something quiet about my level of concern about Dak Prescott, the one person who I want to have a poker face in front of is Adam Schefter. But then to counter that, you, who have a lot of experience talking to people and have to have a BS detector, right? Because that is going to come up from time to time. Also have experience saying, someone is trying to manage me here, right? When you say that you don't like that, that you're concerned because Aikman and Michael Irvin are concerned, but when you talk to people, they don't seem overly concerned. Does your spidey sense go off at all, or do they seem genuine to you?
They seem genuine to me. And, you know, people wonder about that all the time, mm-hmm. Max, and they always say, oh, people are lying to you or pushing agenda. And I don't view it like that. Like, I've done this job for 31 years.
Sure.
You know, you're talking about relationships, and I get lied? I'm sure it happens, mm-hmm. but again, these are long-term relationships with different people, and I think if they can't say something, they just don't say something.
You just don't. It's because I know from my own experience in boxing, even people with long-term relationships, sometimes they're like, "I'm," just, and then later on they'll tell me, "I just couldn't tell you at the time," right?
Right, but they didn't lie to you, right?
Right, right, right. They're not telling you X, or let's put it this way: the people that have lied to you, you don't trust anymore, and then you stop using them as sources.
Exactly.
Right? They weed themselves out.
So when that's exactly right. So when you're talking to someone in the boxing world about somebody, if the boxer has a broken hand and he can't box, and this guy's telling you, hey, his hand's fine,
right?
And it wasn't,
then you know.
Well, you know, and so a lot of times it's not always what people are saying to you; it's how they're saying it. And you've done this long enough. I've done this. So anyone in any type of business relationship is instinctive enough to be able to feel a situation and read between and know. Okay,
sure.
You know, I know there are a lot of times where you're working on a story and I'm saying to myself, something's not right here. Mm-hmm. Something is not right. And I haven't gotten that on deck.
Now, and you're saying that this is coming from trusted sources over the years so that based on everything you hear from the inside, your only concern is the fact that, like the rest of us, Aikman and Michael Irvin are concerned, but not based on anyone you've spoken to.
I have not gotten from somebody, boy, we are really worried about this.
Right.
That this is I don't want to underplay it, but I don't want to overplay it.
Well, listen,
The guy's arm is not fully healthy right now. They're resting it up. They think it's going to make it better. They don't think he's going to miss time. And that's where it's at today. Could that change next week or next? Sure, always.
Right?
That's the part that people, I think, sometimes where I think it's hard for reporters in that regard. Like 2 weeks ago, the Bills and Josh Allen broke off contract talks. And so we're going to talk about Josh Allen. Max, they're not doing the deal this year. They're
right.
Just not doing it. Both sides feel like it's best off to wait. Well, and then a week later, somebody makes a push, circumstances change, and lo and behold, we have a long-term deal.
Yeah.
That things happen.
So if you want to hear all about what's happening in the NFL, you can listen to Adam Schefter's podcast, the Adam Schefter Podcast. And, of course, he is also best-selling author and ESPN senior NFL insider. And Adam and I just gave you a little peek behind the curtain. You just saw how the sausage was made a little bit. And now you understand a little bit more, as always, when Adam Schefter comes on. Thank you, Adam.
Hey, Max, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Always. Coming up, is there a chance the 49ers will trade Jimmy G before the season starts? If only we had a guy like Adam Schefter to ask about that. You think you'd get Schefter on today at some point, Raj? What if you could put the same type of rigor that the pro leagues use for players into your hiring process? Rigorous hiring process. You know what? You can. Use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. And you can invite your top choices to apply for your job. You can invite them. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/KELLERMAN.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Should the 49ers trade Jimmy G? Now, before I give you the answer, let me just say no. Oh, that's the answer, I guess. No, the 49ers should not trade Jimmy G. The 49ers are in the perfect position right now. If, in fact, as I suspect, they think they're farther away than they are, they'll find out at some point this season, and then Jimmy G becomes expendable. If Jimmy G gets hurt and he is injury prone, then they have Trey Lance waiting in the wings. If, on the other hand, everything is the best version of all the plans, and Jimmy G, who, when last healthy, quarterbacked that team to a Super Bowl, and by the way, well, it's all because his coach Shanahan designs these plays, and okay. And Shanahan drew up a great play, and they had the game won if Jimmy G hits Emmanuel Sanders, but he missed him. Maybe next time he hits him. One pass away from winning the Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes. One pass away. You tell me this guy can't win the Super Bowl? I disagree. It's like a souped-up Alex Smith situation, right? Alex Smith can get you to the playoffs, but not very far into the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes holds the clipboard one season, and then in year two, Patrick Mahomes starts, you know, and he's the greatest to ever lived, right? Well, Trey Lance never has to be Patrick Mahomes to be a great quarterback. You know, you could be half the quarterback Mahomes is and still be great. But Garoppolo, on this team, has a chance to go farther than Alex Smith did on the Chiefs. No, you don't trade Garoppolo. You try and win the Super Bowl with Garoppolo. And if he gets hurt, then it's Trey Lance's team. And if he can't get you there, then Trey Lance can take over. But in the meantime, you're only going to make a young, dynamic quarterback better with his time behind Jimmy Garoppolo. Peter King, Football Morning in America, on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Listen to this.
They know in the last 3 years, certainly, that their season ended with one quarterback injury. The year it didn't end with a quarterback injury, they went to the Super Bowl. So I think even though it cost them $25 million to keep Garoppolo on the roster, and he may get passed by Lance at some point early or late in this year, I think the 49ers would have to get blown away with an offer for Garoppolo to do it.
Keep in mind, Jimmy Garoppolo, well, because Shanahan's such a genius, okay. Then in that case, if Garoppolo's ordinary and Shanahan's great, then his replacement should be able to approximate what he does. Doesn't have to be quite as good, but can approximate it. For instance, Tom Brady went undefeated 1 year, right? They lost the Super Bowl to the New York Football Giants. That was awesome. But they had an undefeated regular season. That doesn't matter as much as the Super Bowl, which the Giants won. Have I mentioned that? At any rate, the next season, he got hurt, and Matt Cassel took over. And Matt Cassel can't approximate Tom Brady, but the team was so good, they won 11 games, 10 of them with Matt Cassel that year. They did miss the playoffs, but an 11-win team. So if the Niners are that good and Shanahan's that good and Garoppolo's, you know, not Tom Brady, then it should be easy to replace him, right? Well, the interesting thing is Garoppolo's injury history gives us a really good and large statistical sample to study here. Jimmy Garoppolo, when healthy, for the Niners, is 24-8. That's exactly a 3-1 win-to-loss ratio. He wins 3 games, loses 1. The quarterback that wins 75% of the time. And then with the exact same team, his replacement is almost exactly the opposite. It's not that they just like, well, they don't win 75% of the time. They win 54% of the time. No. It's not that they don't win, they're not over 500. They're just a touch under 500. No. They have like a winning percentage around 25%, something like that. It's almost the exact, I've added this up so many times that I forget the exact number, but accept my representation. It's about the exact it's like, you know, maybe within a couple of games of being the exact opposite record when they don't have Jimmy G. And it's a large sample size, almost the same number of games. Oh, Jimmy G's really good, or that wouldn't be the case, would it? Richard in New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. What's up, Richard?
Hi, Max. The real value of Lamar Jackson He's a running quarterback, the RPO, and in December and January, in a cold weather city like Baltimore is, you rely more on the running game. So that guy gives you another running back with that option to run the ball. You're not throwing 40, 50 yards down in Baltimore in January. So that's why Lamar's got to start. They have to start advancing closer to championship games and Super Bowl games because he's got it all set up for him. The team, the defense, and he's the exact quarterback that they need for that city and that kind of environment. So I think he's ready to take off.
I think that's an interesting point. I would say, like, you know, where the Giants and Jets play is really windy, and the Giants have never had a running quarterback till Daniel Jones, but they won a bunch of Super Bowls with, like, you know, pocket passing quarterbacks. So but I hear what you say. Look, as usual, you know who Richard reminds me of, Raj? Richard reminds me, in a way, of Harold Letterman. Remember the unofficial judge on HBO? So I got it.
Yeah.
I got it, right, whatever it was, 30 to 27. Jim, right? Like Harold Letterman. Harold would chime in every three rounds to give his unofficial scorecard. And it would be me and Jim Lampley and Roy Jones, or else Jim Lampley, George Foreman, and Larry Merchant. Or else back in the day, it would be Barry Tompkins, Larry Merchant, and Sugar Ray Leonard, whatever the team was. Harold's only chiming in once every three rounds. But you know, and you have three talking heads, and me and Jim and Roy like to hear ourselves talk, believe me. And we're covering it from every angle for three straight rounds. Harold would chime in the middle of a round after three rounds, and he would say something no one else had said, and it was right on the money. And we'd be like, damn, Harold, he's on it. It's hard to talk about something that's happening before your eyes with three other people coming to it from three different points of view, talking a lot, and still say something that has not been said and is absolutely true and germane to the issue. And Richard, it does that. Richard's point about Lamar Jackson and the fact that those conditions in Baltimore in the winter and all that, it's an interesting point. And it may be germane, like maybe it's a central kind of point that has not been harped on, at least. Coming up, after having COVID-19 twice, wait till you hear Lamar Jackson's thoughts on getting vaccinated. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today. Find out if they can save you hundreds on your car insurance.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on SiriusXM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776. Michael Thompson and Adam Schefter join me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Lamar Jackson, who has now gotten COVID twice. Well, once you get COVID, you have the antibodies. Well, then why did he get it twice? Before I play you this Lamar Jackson sound, I just want to tell everyone who thinks that with good homespun common sense, you can turn into internet sleuth and figure out in about 5 minutes, you know, the world's leading immunologists and scientists and doctors in the middle of this global pandemic, from which in the United States alone over 500,000 people have died from, they're all telling me to get this vaccine. But I've figured out in the last 5 minutes, in fact, I shouldn't get it. That's not a wise choice. Just like separate yourself from everything else. Do you think that you know better than every leading expert in the world? You'll find a confirmation bias online if you look hard enough, but you have to be willfully blind to the good information, which is everywhere. Lamar Jackson, Ravens quarterback, at the press conference, non-committal after getting COVID twice, still non-committal about getting the totally safe and highly effective vaccine that is our way out of this mess. Here's Lamar Jackson.
I mean, you know, I just got off the COVID list. I got to talk to my team doctors and, you know, try to see how they feel about it. You know, keep learning as much as I can about it, and we'll go from there.
So you might go for it.
We'll see. Talking to the doctors, we'll see. I feel it's a personal decision. You know, I'm just going to worry about that with my family. You know, keep my feelings to my family and myself. I'm focused on getting better right now. You know, I can't dwell on that right now, how everybody else feels. Just trying to get back in a great routine.
Well, if you talk to your doctor, any doctor will tell you to get the vaccine. It doesn't have to be a long conversation either. Just talk to a doctor. Yeah, get the vaccine. Yeah, it's safe. It works. Get the vaccine. Yeah, but I heard someone got the vaccine, still had a case. Yeah, that's right, geniuses. It's not 100% effective. It's like 99% effective. So, you know, every now and then someone's going to get a case. Yeah, Raj, what's up?
He also said in that soundbite, he's just focused on getting better. I'm like, do you think you get better sitting at home for 10 days because you can't go to practice? No.
It's unbelievable, too, because it's like, well, I don't know what the vaccine does. You know what COVID does? The vaccine helps you not get COVID. You think some kind of heretofore undetected Sherlock? You say Sherlock. You think some heretofore undetected long-term problem from the vaccine, which doesn't exist? Like, all the nonsense you've heard about vaccines, everything, is utter nonsense. None of it's true. Not even a little bit true. It's from idiotic anti-vaxxer conspiracy theories that predate our present and recent political climate. Predate it. I couldn't take my kids to Disneyland when I lived in L.A. going back 7-8 years because the measles came back. The measles. What's next? The plague? Polio? What's the matter with people? You get vaccinated. It's because there's a real strain of anti-intellectualism and, you know, this sense of all these formally educated people. Nothing I can't figure out just by going online and poking around a little bit. Yeah, there is plenty you can't figure out by doing that, especially if you're susceptible to extremely low quality and garbage information, as many people seem to be. Do you know that according to a U.S. Economist/U.S. Gov poll, credible poll, 51%, this is as of the middle of July, July 19th to be exact, I believe is when the reporting was, 51% of unvaccinated American adults believe that the government is microchipping them with the vaccines. You can't make this up. Microchips. Oh, my God. Listen, if you believe that, you have to reconsider your decision-making abilities and comprehension. That's some low comprehension of low-quality information. Everyone, we were going through a global pandemic. It shut everything down. Hallelujah, a miracle. Here we go, the vaccine. And now people don't want to take it? And I get it. A lot of players are like, hey, look, you know, I used to take all this stuff the team doctor gave me. By the way, they still take it. All the lawsuits in the NFL, because it tore it all, whatever else people were taking. They were taking all these shots and to keep them on the field, and they were suing stuff. You know, because, look, the team doctor who works for the team, you can say, is in an ethically compromised position. Doesn't mean that they're bad people. It just means that their position themselves leads to a conflict. Like, well, we want to get them on the field, but maybe this isn't good for them. Usually business wins in those kind of choices. So people would say, right, look, you can't trust medical authorities. Well, no, a team doctor in the NFL or the NBA or whatever, I'm focusing on NFL because a lot of injuries there. A team doctor, and that's where Lamar Jackson plays. A team doctor in the NFL is not the same thing as the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. No, it's not the same thing. Please, I beg you, everyone, get vaccinated. And you know, it's not even because I'm sick and tired of the, you know, it's about to get, things are about to get shut down again. It's nothing to do with that. I'm twice vaccinated. Breakout cases and among the twice vaccinated are extremely rare and usually not deadly or really bad prolonged illnesses, right? No, I want you to be safe. The irony is the people who are so angry about getting the vaccine are so mistrustful. The rest of us are like, no, we already got it. We want you to be sick. We could all go back to the world, back to living in the world, and you can be safe. Don in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yes, Max, how you doing?
Go ahead, Don.
I did want to speak about Jimmy Garoppolo, but since you were on the vaccine, there's a lot of things the government and people that are supposed to educate us and doctors, there's no such thing as a team doctor, difference between a team doctor and a regular doctor. All doctors take the same oath. So they're supposed to be there to protect you.
You're right. But they should be. That's right. That's why you get sued. Yeah.
Growing up in school, check this out, Max. Growing up in school, they told us Christopher Columbus discovered America.
But that's not the. I get it. No, no, that's bad information. That was. No, no, no. Wait a minute. That was bad information that was available to everyone at the time. That is not the equivalence of people saying take a vaccine that is effective during a global pandemic and being mistrustful. You're talking about a general distrust of authority. And thinking for yourself and everything. If you think for yourself and you can decipher the difference between good and bad information, you can make that distinction, you will know that no one's trying to trick you into doing something bad for you by taking the vaccine. I have no patience to discuss this. It's absurd. Just get vaccinated, everybody. Please. Please, for your own good. All right. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, back tomorrow. Sinan Golic Jr. coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.